It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter at Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com, and that's on the website. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you for joining us this morning. I so appreciate each and every one of you, and I've done a pretty good job of getting caught up on my email, so I'm ready for some more, Steve.
Well, good on you. Yeah. Let's see how long that lasts.
True that. True that. And I appreciate each and every one of you. You have a purpose today. Live with intention. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I know that many of us are asking ourselves, what can we do? I am very hopeful. I'm seeing solutions start to percolate to the top here. And it actually all comes down to us. And we will continue to help you engage in this battle of ideas that is raging in our country today. So thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you to the team that I get to work with, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I appreciate that as well. I also get to work with great partners on the Kim Munson Show, as well as America's Veteran Stories. And one of those great partners of the Kim Munson Show is Susan Kochevar. She is an entrepreneur, and she is the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. Great to have you in studio, Susan.
Thank you, on this very chilly morning.
Not as chilly as yesterday.
Yeah, this is a heat wave. I just looked. It's 25 degrees compared to yesterday.
Yeah, how's that global warming thing working out for everybody? Just ask everybody in Texas. You were down in Texas, right?
Yeah, I'm just back from Texas, and I learned a lot about what it's like when things freeze down there. I walked out of my hotel room and sat right down. Wasn't hurt, but boy, was it slick.
Yeah. Black ice is black ice. I was talking to a friend of mine in Dallas on the weekend, I guess it was, and she said that there were six people that were killed in Fort Worth in a multi-car pileup. And she said, we just don't know how to drive on black ice. I said, black ice is black ice no matter where you are. It is so difficult. You can't do anything about it. And certainly, they get amazing ice storms down there in Texas, Susan.
They do occasionally, you know, and they have all that humidity in the air. I was, you know, I've lived in Colorado my whole life, and so I was down there looking around. Someone said to me, if you don't get out here soon, you're not going to get out for a few days. And I'm like, yeah. And then I walked out of my hotel, as I mentioned, and I sat right down. But had I come in a little bit earlier into Dallas that morning, and they'd have said, oh, you know, might be slick, I would not have realized what they were saying, and I could have been caught in that accident. That it was terrible.
There's not a thing you can do about that. Mm-mm. I remember one time I was on I-70 out near Kansas City, and it was the same kind of thing, and you were trying to decide where could you go, and it was just, you know, white knuckle kind of stuff. And those are days that are best to stay in, for sure.
Yes.
And what a timely show we have. Every month, we have our health and hydrocarbon show about how hydrocarbons make our lives better.
Yes.
And I tell you what, affordable, reliable, efficient, and abundant energy helps everyday people live better lives. And we see that right now in Texas, and of course, even here in Colorado.
Yes.
We have some of those rocket scientist bureaucrats and interested parties and politicians that are continuing to talk more and more about getting us off of fossil fuels. And guess what? Up in, I think it was Loveland or Fort Collins or both, during this cold spell, instead of the responsible thing to be done, which we expect, and that's affordable, reliable, efficient, and abundant energy, they're saying, lower the temperature in your home. Really? It seems like they're not doing their job then, Susan.
Well, I see that they claim that there's a shortage of natural gas. Now, we have more natural gas than anything, so why would that be?
I think maybe it's the generation component that they have been going after, because we have a lot of natural gas. Steve, do you have a comment on that?
Well, the why, I guess, is to set it in people's minds that, yeah, there's a major problem here, and, you know, even our green fantasy is not stepping up to the plate as much as we like it to.
Yes, we are being, I think, sold a bill of goods on this whole thing. And Colorado, so interesting, is at the tip of the spear on everything. Colorado is now the petri dish, Susan, for everything that they want to push out, whether or not it's the green energy thing or whether or not it's all this voter election. People continue to say election integrity instead of voter integrity because we personally have voter integrity, but it's that election integrity.
Yes.
And everything, we are the petri dish.
We are.
And sometimes I think we think it's daunting, but then I think, you know, we were made for this time and we need to step forward. And when we work here in Colorado, we're protecting the rest of the country as well.
Yes, I think there are a lot of groups stepping up. I've seen more now than I think when the Tea Party started. Even the Broomfield 912 groups, there's just this huge upswell. And that's one of the things a lot of the groups are working on is election integrity.
Mm-hmm. And we have got to get a handle on this. I mean, my gosh, here in Colorado, you can, I guess you can show your CU buff card as proof of your ID, or you can show your electric bill.
Yes,
it's beyond belief here. So, but let's go ahead. Our quote for today, since we're going to be talking about health and hydrocarbons with Dan Haley a little bit later today, I was looking for innovation quotes, and I found William Blake, He's an English poet, painter, and printmaker. He was largely unrecognized during his lifetime. He is now considered a seminal figure in the history of the poetry and visual arts of the Romantic Age. He was born in 1757, and he died in 1827. We have a great quote at the end of the show, and we actually have two. This was the quote that I wanted to talk about regarding health and hydrocarbons, because hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling has unleashed, again, abundant, affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. It has made us energy independent, so we haven't had to fight wars
Yes.
for energy. And yet here in Colorado, we see all kinds of things trying to shut down this industry, mm-hmm. Susan. It's amazing
do.
To me. So William Blake, he says, what is now proved was once only imagined. Again, what is now proved was once only imagined.
Yes.
But this is the other thing, Steve. I didn't realize this, and we've all heard this. And he said, to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. I've heard that, but I never knew who wrote that.
Yeah.
And again, Steve, he was born in 1757, right before you were born, Steve.
Oh, okay. Okay, wow. You'll pay a price there. You know, the first one, what is now proved was once only imagined. That, I think, it has both a positive and a negative connotation to it.
Okay.
I mean, we could think of our technology today, like cell phones and stuff like that, you know, knowing that you grew up with the phone that you had to crank.
Ba-da-boom.
And, you know, that was once only imagined, and now it's here. But on the other side, like, you know, trans people, men trying to compete in women's sports, you know, that once was only imagined, but now it's here.
I'm not sure we even imagined that. That never crossed my...
Somebody did somewhere.
Yeah, somebody did somewhere. True that. I am so blessed to get to work with so many great partners, Susan Kochevar, who is in studio, but also just so many different partners, and one of those is Jen Hewlin. And on the line with me is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show, and that is Jen Hewlin, entrepreneur and owner of Water's Edge Winery. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me today.
And you just got through the Valentine's holiday. You were doing some really fun stuff. And I know it's kind of a lull until we get into, probably St. Patrick's Day here in March. Although Lent starts, and you guys are doing something creative on Fridays during Lent.
Yeah, well, it's any time. So Chef D always has shrimp on hand. So any of our specials, we can, for any of the Catholics out there that are unable to eat meat on Fridays, we can always request a change in the protein and just ask for shrimp. So you can, and also the chef, dealing with all of us women, bless his heart, he can always adjust his recipes to include keto-friendly, low-carb, We do have a few options for gluten-free as well, so we try to do our best to hit everybody's menu selections or menu requirements. So, yeah, we're open and having some fun. Let me tell you, we had a great Valentine's night. We had our own Mikey come in before he joined us. He did trivia, and although it doesn't sound very romantic, we had a fabulous group. He did love-themed trivia, and it turned into a sing-along at one point, and it was a hoot, and I think everybody had a wonderful time.
Jen, as you were saying this, I have to say I have so many great memories and meeting friends and great conversation and learning through the different salon series that we've done. Water's Edge Winery is a place that's really near and dear to my heart. How can people get more information on what you're doing there?
Well, we do have a website, and that is wewdenver.com. You can buy our wines, have them shipped through that site. You can see what we've got going on. But I am most active on social media, so Instagram and Facebook, Water's Edge Winery Denver. And take a look there, and you'll see all of the fun stuff we have going on. We even did a Galentine's Day on Sunday. So yesterday, we had an event where you could come in and do some crafty things, make wine charms and glass etch. We did a special charcuterie board that included chocolates and fruit. And we try to do lots of fun stuff. You know, I spent 20 years working in corporate America, and when I decided to start this winery, I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have some fun. So Water's Edge is a great place to come hang out, and thank you. We love having you guys there. We love that we're a cool place to hang out, talk politics. It's safe, it's free, and we're open, and we're just having a great time. We are doing everything to make sure everything's sanitized and clean, just as we always have, just so people are, so they don't feel concerned about coming in. Hand washing, of course, and distancing and all of that good stuff. But we do our best to keep people having fun and in the old fashion of normal and feel like it's a safe place to go.
And I love it. Water's Edge Winery, and located just west of University, just north of Arapahoe, near South Glen. Jen Hewlin, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
And another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. 5 locations located here in the metro area, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Loveland, and Colorado Springs. They have all kinds of different specials going on. To-go specials, if you're getting together with people and you don't want to cook, I tell you what, those smoked wings, they're half the calories, and the Texas barbecue rub, it's like candy. Those are so fantastic. So they have to-go specials. They have a party pack. Tomorrow, it's Wednesday. It's Wings Day. Kids eat free promos, all kinds of things. You can find all that on my website on the landing page underneath Hooters. There it has all of their specials, and we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Susan Kochevar, entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can, you'll get first look at all of the upcoming guests, podcasts, op-eds. We're going to have some great podcasts. We're scheduled to interview Kevin Sorbo this weekend. Apparently, Facebook kicked him off. He had 500,000 followers, so I want to find out what's going on with that. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And if you want to contribute to continue to keep our independent voice on the air, you can go to my website and just contribute there as well. I appreciate each and every one of you doing that. Just a bit of housekeeping from yesterday. Steve, you had asked the question about Michael Bennett and Jared Polis, because we had talked about Michael Bennett grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, and he is the one that is taking the lead to make Washington, D.C. a state, which would give them two more senators. It's a strategic move by the Dems to continue to try to solidify their power forever over everyday hardworking people. The founders did not want to have the place where the federal government is located as a state, because they felt that it was important that they not have that interest. And you'd asked the question yesterday, Steve, about Michael Bennett and Jared Polis, how long they'd been here in Colorado. And Patty did her research. She said Michael Bennett came to Colorado in 1997. He worked for 6 years at Anschutz Investment Company. He was Hickenlooper's chief of staff when Hickenlooper was mayor, 2003 to 2005. July 1, 2005, he became superintendent of the Denver Public Schools. He became senator January 2009 when Governor Ritter selected Bennett to fill the vacated office when Ken Salazar was appointed Secretary of the Interior. So, Steve, your point you said this morning, share that with the group.
Yeah, after all the other info that Patty included yesterday regarding where he was raised and all the things that he had done in government prior to everything you just mentioned, along with his the role that his father played. And it just got me thinking last night, it's like when he comes out here now, he's not coming home, he's coming out to visit.
True that.
So everything you just listed, it sounds like a Democratic chess game.
And most definitely, because he grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, and his father was in Democrat administrations, his grandfather under FDR. Now, Jared Polis was born in Boulder. He spent his high school years in San Diego, and Polis started various companies. He served one term on the Colorado State Board of Education, 2001 to 2007. He served five terms as the representative from CD2, 2009 to 2019. When he left, he was listed as one of the wealthiest members of the House. His worth was estimated to be $300 million. He is now governor of Colorado. So thank you to Patty for doing that research on that. Let's jump over here to some headlines. This is from the Center Square, and Colorado added additional 14,000 unemployment claims last week. And that brings our total to well over, I think I saw 800,000 here. Okay, here we go. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment reported 14,000 initial unemployment claims filed during the week ending February 6, raising the total number of initial claims to 805,000 since the COVID-19 scamdemic began in mid-March 2020. Susan Kochevar, we only have about 5.5 million people here. Mm-hmm. This is beyond belief. We used to be in the top 10 economies in the country. We now are in the bottom nine.
Well, and we're losing people at astronomical records. So if those people were still here, those numbers would be higher.
Oh, good point.
I mean, we have smashed oil and gas, and so many other industries go right along with that. We've smashed small business as well. I think the numbers are higher.
They probably are, which reminds me, this has been an assault on, as you mentioned, the oil and gas industry, as well as small businesses, entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. They have shut them down. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you lower the capacity of people to be able to produce, and your economy is going to struggle. But I have not seen a headline where any bureaucrat or politician has lost their job.
No, I haven't seen any of those, nor have I seen really all that much money in support coming to small businesses. They do their PPPs, but that's not going to save them. That's not going to save
anybody.
That's
not what they want.
No, it's not what they want. They want to open, and that's what they need to do. That doesn't help their employees either, and that money runs out. So what do the people do the next month? It's absurd what's going on. I have a hard time understanding people who continue to buy into this and who continue to buy into the ridiculous mask policies. There are so many studies now out. One by, it's AIER, a really good comprehensive look at all the studies. This stuff is false, and that's all there's to it. This is an attempt to destroy small business so that the corporations and the oligarchy, I think, can get itself kicked off.
Because then they gobble up the small little businesses. We really need to support our small businesses. And when you're going to buy something online, check out the website of the actual company that you want to buy it from.
Yes.
Instead of going to the big guy, Amazon, to do that and continue to make Jeff Bezos more and more wealthy. Although I have nothing against him on that, except these oligarchies are now trying to control our politicians, our bureaucracies. And Susan, when we were walking in, you said something that I've thought about this a lot. And tell us a little bit about term limits, because we hear this drumbeat for term limits, but term limits for politicians should be with us when
That's
we
right.
vote.
We vote for these people. So what? But the people that we do not vote for are all the people in all the bureaucracies. So I don't think that we need term limits for the people we elect. In fact, I think that will make our problem with the bureaucracies
worse.
We have a deep state at all levels of government. You know yourself, from city council, county commissioners, on up, staff pushes through an agenda. Mm-hmm. And people get elected, even people with good intentions, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they're overwhelmed with all the stuff and statistics that staff pushes at them.
Absolutely. I remember when I was on city council, we would get our packet normally on Thursday evenings for our Tuesday evening meeting, or maybe it might even be Friday morning. And sometimes those packets might be 300 pages long, plus supporting documents on that. And then with all the committees, and that's a whole nother thing. I'm not sure we should have all these boards and commissions, because once again, I've seen that the mayors or city councils, particularly somebody with a big agenda, they actually choose who gets to be on these boards and commissions, mm-hmm. makes people feel important about being on the boards and commissions, saying we want to hear your voice. But somebody that may have agenda actually really affects the outcome. And then when you're sitting on city council and a board or commission comes in with a recommendation that might be pushed by a politician or a bureaucrat over here, it's a difficult thing as a city council person then to push back on quote unquote a citizen, whatever board or commission it is. It's really an interesting thing, the way that this now works.
It is. When I lived in Westminster, they had their environmental groups, and I went to participate in some of that stuff and see what was going on. And they would set up focus groups where they have stakeholders. And sometimes it would just be five citizens, and most of those people were friends of whatever city council person was pushing a particular environmental agenda, whether it's taking over trash hauling or whatever they were trying to do. I know that one of them I sat in on, they were trying to push high density housing, and I sort of upset their focus group because I said, well, they were pushing, well, listen, in these high density housing, everybody will know their neighbors. Well, who starting out hasn't lived in an apartment building? Did you know your neighbors? No. Where do you know your neighbors? In your neighborhoods, where you have a stake and an investment in that neighborhood. And they did not like that comment. So, you know, my ability to get onto those focus groups was greatly limited. I wouldn't be the citizen who was picked. So these focus groups are not people who are elected. They don't represent the people who are working two jobs or the business owner right. who can't attend those things.
Right. And then when the decision has been made and the everyday person realizes that this affects their lives adversely, and they go to the board or commission or city council to say, when did this happen? And the answer is, oh, we had these meetings. Where were you?
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. You folks are elected to represent us. Why weren't you out in the community finding us? So if you live in Westminster, there's something called the Westminster Water Warriors, because a couple of years ago, the staff came up with, oh, we have all this big problem with Westminster water. And there might be some issues, but they pushed this huge agenda and was only supposed to raise the water rates 10%. But if you look at the numbers, they skyrocketed. People were getting $1,000 water bills. And
really?
They'll say, oh, yeah, they'll tell you, oh, something is wrong with your meter. Well, I had a house over there. I looked. I got all the meter reads. You can't make sense of it. If I, as a business, charge somebody for that like that, I would be sued. Sued out of existence. So now the Westminster Water Warriors got together, and they go to the Westminster City Council, and they tell them, oh, no, your numbers are wrong. Look at this. Or you have all these signatures to recall us, and they deny the signatures. Some of these aren't valid. This is the problem. The bureaucracy is the problem, and it just
obfuscates?
Yes, mm-hmm. Everything. No matter what you say, they have some sort of twist on the words or some fake study they've come up with.
That's interesting. But I am so encouraged because the veil is now off on all of this stuff.
It is.
We're going to be talking with Dan Haley, who is the CEO and president of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. The veil is off down in Texas about their move towards renewables. And Steve, he always corrects me, and true that, is we are not. Actually, you say it better than I do, Steve.
What, the disclaimer?
Yeah.
Okay, well, whether it's electric vehicles or anything else to do in this green topic, is like we are not against any of the technology out there. We just want it to be more mature so it doesn't have so many, you know, variables and holes in it, and that also that there's no government force to go there.
That's the key thing there. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, Senior VP over there. The markets were closed yesterday, and you took the day off, but Steve and I still manned the fort.
Well, I didn't have to get up early yesterday. Other than that, my day was about the same as it would have been. They just didn't let you be a slave driver, for one.
And that's, there you go. So what does the futures look like this morning?
Well, they look pretty decent this morning, Kim. The Dow futures are about up 170. NASDAQ, Russell, pretty much across the board. It looks like we're at least going to have a stronger open when the market starts trading in about an hour from now.
Okay. And oil, I guess, is headed up as well. I think Steve said it's just south of $60 a barrel with all this. We're going to be talking with Dan Haley, who is the president and CEO of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, and it's really timely given this whole ice storm down in the Texas area, Jason.
Yeah, oil's actually been moving up pretty much since the election, which would surprise a lot of people, I think. But, you know, when we probably have policies coming in that are going to make oil more difficult to get out of the ground, there's going to be more regulations, less pipelines. When you make something more scarce and more difficult to acquire, the price is almost always going to go higher, and I think that's part of the reason you've seen oil move up from, you know, around $40 a share in November, or a share a barrel, up to around 60 now.
And you see it at the gas pump as well. And so it's going to be an interesting conversation. Jason, I would recommend that people do a portfolio check with you. There's a lot of unknowns out there on the horizon, and I think it makes sense to sit down with you. You've been through a lot of different cycles, and you've got a lot of experience, and you would be the guy to sit down and talk to.
Well, Kim, I appreciate that. Boy, you always never think you've seen it all, and when you see a market like we're seeing now, it just reinforces that you haven't seen everything, because I haven't seen a market quite like this, and I find it a little bit confounding, to be quite honest with you. But experience comes in many different ways, and I've been doing this for about 32 years now, so I've at least learned a thing or two that sunk into my thick head. And I think we can help folks. So give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Kim.
And we'll be right back. In studio with me is Susan Kochevar, owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, and we'll be talking with Dan Haley, the president and CEO of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. So stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is one of my great partners, and that is Susan Kochevar, entrepreneur and owner of the 88 Drive-In Theater. And you wanted to button up one little thing from our last conversation.
Yeah, just across the T with that term limit things. We need term limits on bureaucrats all the way up, and even the boards and commissions. Everything should sunset. A city manager shouldn't be able to go into that job for a lifetime. None of the city staff should. And any staff, even the state staff, you go in for 5 years and out. That's not something that you should do long term, because that's how they push these agendas, and they're unaccountable to the citizens.
Because they're not voted in. Mm-hmm. And then I agree with you. I don't think that we should do term limits. I think that we need to do our civic responsibility. We need to get our elections cleaned up as well, for sure.
Yes.
And then we need to do our civic responsibility. So thank you for buttoning that up. On the line with me is Dan Haley. He is the CEO and president of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association. Dan, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
This is our health and hydrocarbon show. And Dan, our health is directly connected, I think, to hydrocarbons. I tell you, when I came in yesterday, the temperature was -8 when I was coming into the studio. And I have to tell you, I loved my warm car and I loved my warm house. And I appreciate oil and gas, because they are the thing you go back to when things get really cold or really hot.
Absolutely. It is the one thing that has really been working over the weekend as everything has been so cold. So I think, you know, there are times like this you forget just how blessed we are in this country to have an abundance of energy, and especially an abundance of natural gas to keep you warm. And you don't really appreciate the grid until it goes down and you don't have that luxury.
It has been astounding, Dan, to see these pictures coming out of Texas. They've had, you know, very frigid temperatures there. I talked to a friend of mine in Dallas this weekend, and she said that there'd been a very tragic car accident. I guess multiple cars and six people were killed with all the black ice. So here we have all these frigid temperatures, and I imagine most all of you have now seen the picture of the wind turbine that is totally frozen with a helicopter. Excuse me. With a helicopter made from petroleum-based products, putting a petroleum-based product on these wind turbines to try to unfreeze them or defreeze them. And it's just remarkable, because there's been, over, I guess, 2.5 million people that have been without energy down in Texas.
I believe last night there was 4 million people without power at any one given time in Texas. And so Texas is an oil and gas friendly state, but they've built their grid with a lot of wind energy on it. And this idea that, you know, the wind will supply the power to electrify your grid. And wind energy has been getting more efficient in recent years, and it will supply power. However, there is no storage for that wind energy right now. And so you need reliable natural gas, coal to really back up that grid and keep the grid going. And what happened in Texas yesterday was these wind turbines literally froze up. Some of the newer ones apparently have some heating elements on them, but many of them, most of them, do not. And so you saw, I think in some spots, all of them were freezing up, half of them were freezing up. And so you had this huge issue where the wind capacity to power the grid started decreasing in much of Texas, areas of Oklahoma, Kansas, even in Colorado. People started getting warnings over the weekend to conserve their energy, conserve their electricity use, because wind turbines were literally freezing up and not providing any energy at all. And in fact, I read something over the weekend that 2 years ago, so I assume this technology still exists, wind turbines will actually consume energy when they're frozen because they have some heating elements that are trying to keep certain things warm. So they're actually taking energy off the grid while they're frozen. So you really find out in moments like that just how unreliable this technology is right now. And so what's frustrating in a state like Colorado, where you're constantly battling to keep efficient and affordable natural gas flowing, to see what happens when political agendas take over, and you have, you know, really, I thought this weekend was sort of a taste of what life could look like, you know, if President Biden and environmental activists get their way. And it's not good. We need to be focusing on reliable and efficient and affordable energy sources to make sure that we're able to heat our homes. And as you say, just protect ourselves from the element. This is the 21st century, and we should be able to build a grid that is available in extreme heat and extreme cold. We can, but we need to utilize those resources like natural gas to provide that affordable and efficient energy.
You know, Dan, as you were saying this, I'm thinking 4 million people without energy in frigid temperatures. I'm thinking about one of my little neighbors who I love dearly. She's in her 90s. And gosh, if she didn't have any energy to keep her house warm, I mean, that's going to be really hard on our elderly as they are trying to live in their homes and to have a storm come through like this. I mean, it's almost cruel to think that we have public policy that is actually trying, and when you look at it, it's actually trying to limit people's access to this. And think about 4 million people in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas City. There's a lot of elderly people that were probably without heat here during these very frigid temperatures, and that can't be good for them.
I'm sure there were, and again, this is, it's an unnecessary thing that it doesn't need to happen. And it's all about hopefully learning your lessons from this, really, and understanding how the grid works. We're in this movement now to electrify the grid, and you'll hear some of that in Colorado with the state legislature coming back today. You'll begin to hear, you know, that what's happening there. And so hopefully people use this as a moment to take a step back and think about what's reasonable, what's rational, what makes sense, because as you said, people are freezing. And back in the day, people died from the elements, and we were able to use technology, something like natural gas to get pipelines to our homes, to heat our homes efficiently, affordably, so we didn't die from the elements. And here we sit in 2021 with 4 million people without power. I've been watching the different utilities out there and how they're supplying energy to people. Austin, Texas, typically, in I think 2019, supplied about 43% renewable energy through their grid. Last night it was at 2.5% because those wind turbines froze. So natural gas has taken on a greater role over the weekend, and I think has really kept the power on and has been a hero in a lot of this. There have been a few issues on the supply line with natural gas as well because it is so cold, but nothing near of what's happened with wind turbines and when you rely so much on wind turbines.
Well, now, Dan Haley, here in Colorado, because of hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling, we have unleashed, and again, it's creativity and innovation, natural gas, which is a clean energy source, and it's a very reliable and efficient, abundant, there's abundance here. And we see public policy that's trying to do different things to shut down, being able to get that out of the ground, or I'm astounded to see that it looks like Xcel is going to try to fast track closing down those power plants, those coal-fired plants with the Platte Valley Authority. And in fact, we have a headline here. This is from the Herald staff, I think, up in Loveland, that Platte River Power Authority was asking their customers to turn down their thermostats and postpone using their washers, dryers, and dishwashers from 4 to 10 p.m. on Sunday. And that seems really irresponsible that we are having public policy that is now, instead of having people be able to do what they want to in their homes, take their chores or a variety of things. If they're working, many times they might be doing their wash on a Sunday afternoon. And instead of making sure that we have that reliable source, we are seeing Xcel and big business and big government kind of like each other, and Xcel and Colorado politicians kind of like each other, because what a great way to try to squash down your competition, except by using public policy and trying to shut down that their competitors on that. I actually like a lot of energy sources that can compete.
Right. Yeah, I again, you know, I advocate for oil and natural gas, but as an American, what I care about is energy security, and I want to make sure that we're producing the energy that we need in this country, and so if that involves wind and solar energy, then let's do it. But right now, I know that oil and natural gas are the most efficient and affordable ways to power our lives in the 21st century. So when you see things like that happening, I think, you know, to me, one of the lessons here for Colorado is really to ensure that our systems can meet peak demand, even meet that extremely cold or extremely hot temperatures. You'll have environmental activists saying we need to do all of this in the name of climate change. And climate change, they will tell you, leads to extreme temperatures, extreme cold, extreme heat. So if we are going to experience that, don't we want to have a system that allows us to survive those moments? So we need to look what's happening in California. It's the exact reverse of what happened in Texas over the weekend. They had people who died in a heat wave last summer because they couldn't afford to keep the power on. That state has done more than anyone, excuse me, to rid itself of oil and natural gas, but it's not working. They are actually importing oil from foreign countries. Their oil production has declined 60% since 1985, but they've only seen a 4.4% decrease in demand for oil. So nearly 75% of their energy consumption is coming from oil and natural gas, and they're getting it from foreign countries. Even the governor, Gavin Newsom, said this is not a great way to go about supplying our energy from Saudi Arabia, Ecuador, Colombia. It's hardly an environmental solution when you look globally, is what he said. So again, I come back to, what do we have here? We have abundant and efficient natural gas, which will heat and power your homes and reduce the amount of carbon and greenhouse gas emissions that are going into the air. And so if you're concerned about the climate, if you want to have reliable power, we have the ability to do that through natural gas. And so we just have to be smart about what we're doing. And again, as I said, I know this is a tough discussion because politics comes into play here, and climate change has become a religion for many people. And so, but if we can take a step back and really think through the process here, we have the answers. We have the technology to survive and thrive in the 21st century. We just need the political will to use it.
Good point. Susan, Coach Var, you had a point.
Yeah, I had a point too. When we're talking about the renewable energy and the windmills, let's sort of examine the size and scope of what we're talking about. So in Texas, along the northern border, they have the largest windmill farm anywhere in the country, 627 wind turbines. And in Roscoe, that totally destroys the landscape there, completely ruins the environment, in my opinion. So that, it takes 627 of those gigantic windmills to sort of supplement the energy, and it's not doing that well. Imagine all the broken pipes today. And you can also find a picture on the internet yesterday of them using a helicopter to dump a petroleum product onto those windmills to de-ice them. It's the same product they use to de-ice airplanes at the airport. So look at the size and the scope of this. Now we're pouring all of this petroleum product now on all the landscape on top of those eyesores. It doesn't make sense.
Wind turbines use a tremendous amount of space when you actually begin to look at the amount of energy they produce. They use a tremendous amount of the land around them. I saw a stat a year or so ago that said just to power the increase in demand for energy, so just the increase in demand for global energy, to power that increase with renewable energy, you would need to cover the entire country of Germany in wind turbines. So you begin to see just how much land mass they take up. They also, those giant blades are not recyclable. And so there is a sort of a wind turbine graveyard up near Casper, Wyoming, where they're just burying these giant wind turbine blades, which is hardly renewable or, green by any means.
Right.
So there are, what we talk about a lot are trade-offs. There are trade-offs to any energy that we use. And so you have to understand that. When you think about solar, you think about solar and where solar comes from and the rare earth minerals that are developed to create those solar panels, which, by the way, are covered in snow right now in Texas and Colorado and not producing energy. But I was going to talk about electric vehicles, which are the big thing everybody likes to talk about. Those electric vehicles have 1,000-pound engines in them. To create that 1,000-pound battery, to create that 1,000-pound battery, it takes 5,000 pounds of rare earth minerals that are mined somewhere else on the other side of the world without probably the greatest environmental standards to create that 1,000-pound battery in your EV, which right now, if it makes it to the United States, is probably going to get plugged into a grid that's powered by coal and natural gas primarily. So we need to talk about those trade-offs. We need to really understand what we're doing with our energy and not just buy into the fantasy that we can flip to an all-renewable world tomorrow and that an all-renewable world is clean. There
right.
are certainly environmental issues with renewable energy. We need to talk about those things.
Most definitely. Dan Haley, stay on the line. We're going to go to break, and Susan Kochevar is in studio. We're talking about how hydrocarbons really contribute to our health, our well-being, the ability for us to thrive and prosper, to be warm when it's cold outside and cool when it's hot outside. Before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great partner of the Kim Munson Show. They're a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado, and whether or not you're a sportsman or a chef or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you, and they are bringing in some beautiful lines of watches as well, and I think Hal's going to have that on the website. I think Hal's going to be in studio on Thursday. We'll ask him about that, but let's go to break. We'll continue the conversation with Dan Haley, CEO and President of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, because health and hydrocarbons are very closely aligned. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I did get mostly caught up on all those emails, so I'm ready for some more. Be sure and send those in. Dan Haley's on the line with us. He is the CEO and president of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, and everybody wants to say something here in the studio, Dan, so hold on. Steve, you had your first point.
Well, that reference to the picture of the helicopter de-icing the turbine. Not only is the glycol, a petroleum product, but the helicopter itself is burning jet fuel. So it was quite a contrast, the picture. And also,
absolutely,
to Dan's point about the blades failing and having to be buried, then why aren't we pressing for a different construction of the blades so they don't fail? mean, it's ridiculous. We're more than willing to take those blades, like you said, in Wyoming, and now there's, I guess, a place in Oklahoma where they're burying these blades.
Okay, I think they should maybe bury him up in Boulder. How about that? Okay, Susan, you had a point.
Well, whether people like it or not, oil and gas is natural. It comes out of the ground. It's not like a byproduct from a nuclear power plant, which I'm not against energy from those either, but it's a natural thing.
I had never thought about that, Dan. What's your thoughts on that?
It absolutely is. I like to joke that it's organic and locally sourced, which which it is. but yeah, it comes straight out of the ground and has been doing amazing things for us for a long time. You talk about health, and I wanted to make another point here that often gets forgotten because we think about fuel for our cars and heat for our homes and businesses, but oil and gas is the underpinnings of our modern society. It, you know, they have made first in the world supplies of hydrocarbons that really are the basis of organic chemistry, which in turn makes plastics that are used, for example, in healthcare, in production of vials and screening and protective gear and ventilators and all the things that have made it possible for us to get through the pandemic begin in a barrel of oil, begin with natural gas. You think about the little plastic syringes that are required for the vaccine, the cold storage for the vaccine, the medical supplies, the propylene masks, gowns, goggles, tubing, all of these different things that are in hospitals. And also when you drive around and you see restaurants with plastic sheeting up outside, and you can, as ridiculous as it might seem that we're doing that and putting heaters inside and saying it's outdoors, that's all from oil and natural gas. That's how we're able to survive this pandemic and live our lives. So, again, I think we often forget about all those other things, our phones, our clothing, that begin with this product and the fact that we've really been able to revolutionize it and use it to our advantage over the last 100 years. It's been amazing. We have a guy, Chris Wright, in our industry with Liberty, who talks about how human life expectancy has changed just with the discovery of oil and how we've been able to use that to better our lives.
Well, and instead of trying to limit people's access to affordable, efficient, reliable, and efficient energy, it seems that we would want to try to have everybody on the earth have this energy source, and people want this energy source. And when women don't have to go out and collect wood or dung to cook over or to heat the place that they live, or if they don't have to go out and get water or whatever, that can free them up to do things to better take care of their families. If they had that energy source, it would make their lives better in many of these third world countries, Dan.
Well, you've zeroed in on something. That one of the real crimes in this whole movement to me is this idea that there are a billion people on this planet whose lives shut off, whose economy shut down when the sun goes down. They're heating their homes, heating their food with wood and dung indoors. And we're saying through this renewable energy movement, this 100% renewable energy movement, that you don't get access to the energy that we've enjoyed for the last 100 years to build up our societies, to build up our economies, to build up our lives. You don't get that.
Wow.
Because it's bad for the environment. We took care of that and we did that for you. This argument is born out of privilege. You hear a lot about privilege, and aren't we privileged to sit here with an abundance of energy and tell a billion people on the planet that they don't get access to reliable energy, that they don't get access to energy that's going to fuel their hospitals, power ventilators, power incubators to keep babies alive when they're born with issues. It's really just wrong. And instead, we should be talking about how we can get energy to these people so they can build up their lives and have the same qualities of life that we've had in this country. So you cued in on something that really always bothers me in this issue, to say that, you know, we've done it for the last 100 years, and sorry, we've ruined it for you. Now you don't get energy. So we need to talk about how we can do this and deliver clean energy to them. One point I want to make here is in Colorado, we are doing this better than most anywhere in the world. We believe that these are some of the cleanest molecules of oil and natural gas being produced in the world. So if you care about the environment and you know that we need this resource for the long foreseeable future, let's produce it here in Colorado. Let's get it out to our partners around the world. We've got enough natural gas to get this out to the Pacific Rim areas of Japan and begin using this clean resource that's developed here
source locally, produce locally, and help our environment.
And we need to have our eyes on public policy, both here in Colorado as well as on the national level, that is actually trying to limit this great resource that's affordable, efficient, reliable, and abundant. One quick comment I wanted to make, Dan Haley, and that's regarding these electric batteries. I come into the studio early in the morning, and I have this little ritual. I go out, and I put my purse in the car, and I put my phone in the car. And I know I'm going to call Steve for our pre-call for the show when I'm coming in. Put my car keys there, and then I come out, and I bring my whole pack of my computer and all that stuff. So I put my phone in my car early yesterday morning when it was -8. It was fully charged. It was maybe in my car for 30 minutes. When I got in my car, it was totally out of battery because it was so darn cold. And once again, because of the cold, these electric batteries do not hold the charge the way I turned my car on, and then I plugged my phone in, and that's how it charged. And I thought that was an important point to make. Dan, we've got 1 minute left. What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I'll tell you two things. That's happening to electric cars. Their battery capacity in extreme heat and extreme cold drops rapidly, so they have to charge more, and they're not reliable. The final thing is, I would say, check out an editorial in the Wall Street Journal today where they say the Biden administration's plan to banish fossil fuels is a greater existential threat to Americans than climate change. I think it's a good read for everybody.
Most definitely. Hey, Dan Haley, thank you for joining us for our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. You are the CEO and president of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, and we need to wake up and make sure that we are pushing back on public policy here in Colorado and on the national level that's trying to shut down this important resource. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay. And Susan Kochevar, entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. It always goes fast.
It
Love
does.
Having you here.
Thank you.
And our quote for today is from William Blake. And he said this: when a sinister person means to be your enemy, they always start by trying to become your friend. Interesting. Okay. So, my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, remember, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.